This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. And I do trust the program blesses, encourages, and challenges you, and that you get instruction that perhaps you haven't thought about before. If you would like to contact me, go to my website, bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com. You can use the email address or the postal address that's given there. And this program can be re-listened to there. You can download the program to your own computer if you would like. You can also reach me at Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. And we'd be happy to take any comments that you might have on the program as well as your prayer requests. And we would take the comments and prayer requests quite seriously. Now, we've been looking at words that describe the Lord and help us understand the gospel, and we're trying to stay simple so that as we use these words, they will remind us of the doctrine of Scripture that is simple when it comes to our relationship with God. And so we've looked at beginnings, and we've looked at warnings, and we've looked at worry, we've looked at hope, we've looked at faith, we've looked at the word lost, the word saved along with salvation, and the last two times we've looked at the word grace, the free gift, the unmerited favor that we receive because of the death of Christ at the cross. And that unmerited favor, of course, is seen most clearly in John 3:16 for most people. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So favor is an undeserved blessing. It's a free gift, and we're saved by grace through faith. But today I want to look at a closely related word, and that word is mercy. And it's interesting that when we look at mercy, we often compare it to grace, and we say that grace is getting what you do not deserve, while mercy is not getting what you do deserve. And so really when we're looking at mercy, we're looking with that definition at the punishment that we really deserve because of our sins. And God, through Christ at the cross, has mercy upon us. Now, really, as I've looked at the word mercy, I find out that in the Old Testament, it's often translated loving kindness. And of course, that is a broader term in my opinion than the word mercy. But loving kindness is what we should be showing one another. And obviously in this world, if we listen to the news, we don't show it very well. But if we were to look at the loving kindness of the Lord, often the loving kindness is compassion, that the Lord had compassion. And so we should have compassion. That means that we have an ability to enter into what others are experiencing. And if it's something that is difficult, we can identify with it and in some way maybe help and realize that we might be the solution to whatever problem they're having. So compassion, loving kindness, love itself, these are all associated with mercy, even though it is not getting what you really do deserve, and that's a simple definition of one aspect of mercy. But when we look at mercy, we see it in the Lord Jesus, and probably the best place to understand mercy would be in Luke chapter 10. There was a lawyer who came to the Lord and said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And I've always found that statement interesting because I didn't know that we did anything to inherit. And normally somebody who is related to us or who loves us has to die for us to inherit. And our inheritance in the kingdom of God comes through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. But this lawyer said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And so he was going to try to earn eternal life. And the Lord really began to question his ability to get to heaven based on what he was going to do. And this young fellow seemed to think he had kept the commandments. But the commandment to love your neighbor as yourself was a problem to him. And when the Lord raised that issue, he says, "Who is my neighbor?" And then in Luke 10, we find out who our neighbor is. Luke 10, this is the story of what we call the Good Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, 'Take care of him, whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee.' Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" And this lawyer said, "He that showed mercy." And here it is, compassion, loving kindness. "He that showed mercy on him." Then said Jesus unto him, "Go and do thou likewise." In other words, consider those to be neighbors that you really don't identify with and you really don't like. And if they've got needs, help meet them. Now, when he says, "Go and do thou likewise," it could appear that you inherit eternal life by being the compassionate person that the Good Samaritan was. But I think the indication in the passage is that none of us really love our neighbors as ourselves. And of course, when we look at this particular story, we could say it's a parable, but there was a certain man, and I think there was a certain man who fell among thieves. That represents the sinners who are being robbed by Satan. And people don't realize that when they get involved in the things Satan offers them, which are appealing to the flesh, often it robs them of their health, sometimes of their relationships with their families, sometimes it robs them of peace of mind, and often it robs them of their wealth. So the man who fell among thieves is, it represents each one of us, sinners that need the compassion of God to be saved. But a priest came down that way. And I would take it that the priest was a Jew and he represented the law and he could not save. The priest, of course, was the one who interceded in the Old Testament between men and God and offered the sacrifices. And instead of recognizing that he had a special responsibility as a priest, he passed by on the other side. Now, I've really wondered if the man who fell among thieves, who was traveling, I think we say from Jerusalem, he was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, so it may very well be that man who fell among thieves was a Jew, but I don't know. But it's obvious that the man who had compassion is a Samaritan, and the Samaritans were hated by the Jews. They were despised by the Jews. They were considered to be half-breeds. They were people who had been brought into the land when the children of Israel were taken captive, and they were brought into the land to sort of preserve it, and they had some of the character of the Jewish religion in their worship, and they had some of the character of the pagans in their worship. And it turned out that Samaritans were considered kind of half-Jews, and they lived on the other side of the tracks, and the Jews didn't identify with them. And so whether the man who fell among thieves was a Jew or not, and I suspect he was being helped by a Samaritan, which would be like being helped by the homeless people in our society, or the people who live in places where we just simply wouldn't go because they're considered places that are dangerous and so on. So nevertheless, the Samaritan, it represents the Lord. and he showed mercy or compassion. And we should do like that if we are really going to love our neighbors as ourselves. But that will not ever earn us a place in heaven, and we need to make sure we know that, because salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. And so the man who fell among thieves represents a sinner, the priest represents the law, and the Levite represented religion. Levites were workers in the temple, and they the ones that should have shown compassion did not show compassion. And then the Good Samaritan comes along, and you see that he came to him and bound up his wounds. He had compassion upon him. He picked him up and he put him on his own beast and he took him to an inn. And I would like to look at the inn as maybe a place of refuge, which is what an assembly should be. And he gave a charge to the host of that inn to take care of this man. And if he spent more than he had been given to take care of him, the Samaritan was going to come back and pay that as well. And you'll notice this Good Samaritan was going to come again. Whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. But now here's a picture of compassion. A Samaritan who was considered the outcast of society, helping a Jew who was considered the cream of the crop, and the outcast representing the Lord Jesus. It's the way the Jews treated the Lord Jesus. It's the way the Romans treated the Lord Jesus. And yet he's the one who comes along and he sees our need and he picks us up and he pours in the oil and the wine. He fixes us up and then he takes us to an inn, a place where we can be taken care of, like in a hospital. And he picks us up and he then puts us up and makes sure that we're kept safe. So he not only saved this man, but he gave him the ability to get well. And so we don't understand, I think, sometimes how far the Lord went in order to save us, but he loves us just as this Samaritan apparently loved this man who fell among thieves. Now, the love that he had was probably not the love of a friend. It was the same kind of love of devotion and duty that the Lord showed for us when he gave his son to die for our sins. So again, he had compassion. Go and do thou likewise. Well, the question could be asked, are you supposed to do like the Good Samaritan? Or are you supposed to do like the man who fell among thieves? Well, you should do like both. The Good Samaritan showed compassion, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ. And if we're really saved, we should show compassion. We should show compassion on everyone who has a soul, and that's the living people, regardless of their nationality, background, or where they come from. We should have compassion. We should try to meet their need with the gospel first of all, and then by mentoring them and teaching them the way to please God after they have come to know him. And we need to find a place where we can be helped. We need to find an inn. So we look at this Good Samaritan. Were you to do like the Good Samaritan? Yes. But you should also do like the man who fell among thieves, because I have no doubt when he realized that he had been taken care of by a Samaritan, his attitude toward this Samaritan would likely have changed. If he had had a desire to avoid Samaritans before, now I'm sure that at least with regard to this Samaritan, he would really love him and be thankful for what he had done. He would bond to this Samaritan. Have we been helped, saved, and do we realize we've been shown compassion by the Lord? Do we realize that? I hope so. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless our lesson and bless those who have listened today. We thank thee for thy love in our Savior's name. Amen.